We're reading from Ephesians chapter 6, and we're in verse 11 here. We're talking about the armor of God. Paul writes in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, so that you would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, the word here for wiles is schemes or methods in some of your Bibles. The Christian life that Paul is describing for us is a battle. It's a war. And it's a war against our old self. It's a war against our flesh. It's a war against sin. It's a war against evil. And the genuine Christian, the truly born-again child of God, who lives faithful to the teaching of Scripture, will find himself involved in this battle. Unfortunately, many Christians do not consider the Christian life to be a battle. We often hear the presentation of the gospel as something to come and all your worries and all your fears and all your problems and all your struggles will be over when you come to Jesus. When in reality, when you come to Jesus, when you are saved, your battles only begin at that point. I remember leading somebody in prayer one time to the Lord, and a week or two later they came by and said, "You said I would face problems, and so far I haven't had any serious problems." And when I started to talk to him, his parents were mad at him because he'd become a Christian, and people at his work were mad at him, and his friends had left him, and he was so in tune and so into the Word, expecting that somebody was going to come and kill him for Jesus, that all these other things were like secondary. I said, "You know, you're in a war. You're in a battle here." Beginning with chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul has been teaching, and Paul has been encouraging us, and he's been calling us to live a life that is worthy of the name Christian, and a life that is obedient to the Word of God. And if you are faithful in doing that, you will face opposition from your enemy. And our verse tells us that we have an enemy, and the Bible even tells us his name. We know who he is. It's the devil, Satan. But we'll talk about Satan next time. Today I want to stop and talk about the word stand. The real Christian, the genuine believer, is taught in the Word, and very quickly after you become a Christian, you learn that you can't win this battle. I've had frustrated people come up to me and says, "I really want to live holy, but it's hard. I keep stumbling. I keep falling." I said, "But did you get up?" "Yes, I got up." I said, "Well, that is part of the battle." You see, we've already talked about the fact that the war has been won by Jesus Christ, but the battle is fought by ourselves, individually, every day. And we don't win this battle with our own personal strength, but here Paul says in verse 10, "Use the power of God, be strong in his power, and use everything that God has provided for you in his resources." When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Апостол Павел написал филиппийцам, "Я могу все силой укрепляющего меня." This war that we are in has been won by the death and by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But to us, Jesus says, every day, pick up your cross and carry it. A couple of weeks ago, I was driving down a main street down in Riverside County, and there was a man carrying a big cross. Had a little wheel on the end, and he was towing it. He had a Bible in one hand and a cross in the other hand. He was literally carrying a cross. And when I saw him, I instantly, in my heart, I just had a prayer to God and said, "Here's a man that at least symbolically is a testimony that he's a Christian." And I'm sure that deep down inside, you know, only a genuine believer would think of taking a cross and using that as a testimony. Because I'm sure there was a lot of people that were honking at him and laughing at him. But later on, when I was coming back down the street, he was talking to somebody. And I'm sure he was sharing what the cross means. But daily, when you pick up your cross and you follow Jesus, you're going to be involved in this battle with sin. Over the weekend, I'm sure some of you sports fans watched some football games. And I'm sure you saw these guys go out to play the game. And they were all dressed in a certain way. In fact, both sides, both teams were dressed identically. One team one way and one team the other way. And when you see them fighting over the football, you could see the different colors of the uniforms, could you not? Paul says, put on the armor of God and use it in your battle to fight Satan. Because the armor of God is what protects us from injury. Those football players out there that you saw playing the games with their padding and with their uniform, that is to protect them. The helmet that they wear, that was to protect their head from injury. And Paul says, do this. And when you put on the armor of God, you will be able to stand against your enemy who is against you. We noted last time that when we put on this armor of God, we don't just put it on once in a while, but once we put it on for life. In the Greek language, what put on, it means you do it once. It's like when you get dressed and then you never take it off again. Not even for a moment. And the reason for this is in your one moment of weakness, Satan can come in and cause you harm. And so I'd like us to focus on this word today so that you would be able to stand. You see, we cannot stand by ourselves. We need the power of God that Paul says, and we need the armor of God to stand. Stand is a military word, and it usually refers to a soldier that had to stand guard, had to stand duty at a post. He had to stand at attention. He had to be dressed in his armor, and he had to be attentive at all times, and his job, usually it was up on a hill, to look down and to see if anyone was trying to come in into the post, into the camp. And the guard was usually the one that would blow the horn and sound the alarm so all the other soldiers, maybe some are resting, some are doing different things, they could quickly form a formation so that the post would not be overtaken. The guard, if he sat down for a moment, and the armor was usually heavy, if you've seen the army or the weapons that a soldier has to use today, that's about 150 pounds of armor. Between all the things that he carries. In the days that Paul was writing, the armor, the steel armor that the soldiers wore was very, very heavy. And sometimes the soldier would be tempted, especially during the day when there was a lot of light, to say, well, there's no enemies here, to sit down momentarily. And the enemy usually would notice that, and that would be the time that they would attack. The second thing, to stand militarily, it means to hold the position, to hold the fort. Who did the fort belong to? It did not belong to the soldier. It belonged to the soldier's king, and it belonged to the kingdom that the soldier was part of. And when the soldier would stand guard, he had to stand and his feet would be planted, and he would never step backwards and give up territory. Sometimes territory that had been won by the blood and by the death of his friends. And so to stand is a military word to be at attention, but it also means, if necessary, to give all you have so that the line would not be crossed by the enemy. It talks about being faithful, faithfulness. The soldier that was not attentive to his job, and if the enemy attacked, and if the fort or the territory was overtaken by the enemy, if the soldier was not killed, sometimes he would be brought before a military judge and a tribunal and would be on trial because he had not been faithful in the job that he'd been given to do. And so Paul uses this word with these military meanings for us. He says, put on the gospel, the armor of God so that you would be faithful, so you could stand, so you could be firm, your feet would be planted, so that the kingdom of God would not be overrun by Satan and with Satan's hosts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says that we encounter battles, we encounter temptation, we encounter trials, but God has given us the power to overcome everything that we have. And power is given us to overcome the trials and to have our feet planted firmly. Actually, to stand firm, Paul will repeat this word several times in our text as you get down to the end of this chapter. But in writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says that the church of God is built upon a foundation that is solid, that is sure. Jesus talked about having our feet or having our spiritual house built upon a rock. And remember, Paul has talked about in chapter 5 about us being wise as Christians. Be wise instead of foolish. Remember the example of Jesus and the two men that were building rocks? One was wise and one was foolish. The foolish man built his house on the sand. The wise man, it says, he dug and he dug deep. And when he hit the bedrock, then he built his house on a foundation. And the foundation was firmly attached or anchored to the bedrock. Do you see the picture of it? It's not just a rock that we put our house on, but we attach our life to the rock. If you've, any of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon and to Hoover Dam, and you see the movie about how it was built, first they diverted the river, and then when the riverbed dried up, it was rock down on the bottom. And they used dynamite to make holes in the rock, and they put the steel anchors there, and they started pouring cement on there, and so it was anchored to what we called the river bedrock. And in the same way, the church of Christ, Jesus said, I will build my church upon this rock, this bedrock, which is myself, Jesus Christ. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And this is what Paul is saying. Put on the armor of God so that you will be able to stand against the methods and against the wiles of the devil. Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 2, says, we are living stones. We're like little pebbles. We're like little rocks. And we have come to the living rock, to the living stone. We have come to Jesus Christ, upon whom we build our spiritual house. Peter is using the same imagery that Paul is using here. He says we're building our rock there. And so we're called. We're called to live worthy. We're called to live wisely. We're called by Paul to live in the power of God, using the might of God. We're called to be dressed in the armor of God that God has provided us with. And we do that by being anchored to the rock that is Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. And when we do that, then we can stand firm against Satan, who is our enemy, that would like to destroy us. And that we will talk about next time, God willing. Amen.